Nick at Night is a way that the Nickelodeon television channel targets children just before they go to bed. It's also a way that a lot of preachers and writers refer to this guy, the seeker Nicodemus, who appears in today's New Testament lesson. But before we encounter this Nick at Night fellow, we should read a psalm. It's Psalm 121, and I'd like us to read it together. You can find it in page 560 of your pew Bible. And oh, look at that, it's on the screen too. This is a psalm of ascents. Many scholars believe these psalms were sung by God's people as they ascended the road to Jerusalem to attend festivals. It was also sung by priests as they ascended the 15 steps to minister in the temple. Listen for God's word for us today as we say together the words of Psalm 121. I lift up
my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore.
This ends our reading of the psalm. Now, in my lifetime, I've lived close to the mountains, and I've lived in the prairie. And I can tell you I prefer the mountains, although mountains can be dangerous, especially if you're trying to travel over them. God's people knew that the mountains harbored people who periodically saved the village from marauding soldiers. According to the psalmist, those who rely on God can continue to inhabit the land. I've heard that this psalm is sometimes recited today to soldiers as they're being deployed. Part of what it means to rely on God is relying on God for protection, and that surely comes out in the psalm today. Now, our New Testament lesson continues the gospel writer's theme of growing closer to God and growing in the Spirit. That's our theme during Lent. Our gospel lesson today includes probably the best-known verse in the Bible. Listen for God's good news as we hear it in John 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God."
Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above."
Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?"
Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." Let's listen to the choir interpret what it means to be born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, "You must be born from above." The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?"
Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This ends our reading of God's word. May it be like it was for the psalmist, a lamp to our feet and a light on the path we walk together.
Amen. Before I started this morning, I got a text from Pastor Susan who said, "You are about to enjoy why I enjoy, why you're about to learn why I enjoy preaching at that church." And, you know, so far she's right. Jesus tells this guy that we're calling Nick at night that if we expect to be residents of God's kingdom, we must be born of water and spirit. Water, as in our baptisms, water that washes away sin and transforms lives. Spirit, as being attuned to the new life, the new way that God's Spirit blows through us and in us and around us. You might by well know me well enough to realize that I'm a seeker, just like Nicodemus was. There's just so much that I don't understand, but I keep up my search and I see glimpses for what God wants for us by sitting in a Sunday school class or by singing and confessing and praying together on a Sunday morning. It's hard for you to be a seeker on your own. At least it's hard for me. It's much easier when I'm surrounded by other seekers. Now, this story about Nick at night leaves plenty of room for interpretation. For one thing, Jesus uses a Greek phrase, anothen, translated here, born from above, that could also be translated, born again. That's confusing for Nicodemus. You see, back in Nick's day, people were born to their station in life. Your status depended on the family that you were born into and that you belonged to. But here Jesus is speaking of a new identity, this identity that we have when we are born from above. Believing in him is something that anyone can do. The Samaritan woman at the well, whose story Susan told us last week, or the repentant thief on the cross, whose confession that we discussed during the adult Sunday school class last week. Today we teach our children that they can grow up to be anything they want to be, but not in those days. Jesus' message to Nicodemus is this: people are no longer limited to the circumstances that they're born into. We are sons of God and we are daughters of God. That is our new status. But misunderstanding Jesus, Nicodemus thinks that he must be born again. Baptist pastor Margaret Hess invites us to think about what that might really mean for Nicodemus. For if he's born again, then he's going to have to grow up again. It's as if Jesus is telling him, think about your life, Nicodemus. What would you do differently if you had the chance? How would you re-edit the narrative of your life? Nicodemus is being asked to conduct an autopsy on his past and to look to the future through the eyes of redemptive possibility. Now, one thing that I really like about people in general and about Americans specifically is that we are almost always willing to give people a second chance, sometimes many more chances than just one. We're a forgiving people, so long as the person who has wronged us or who has messed up somehow admits their mistake or their offense and asks for forgiveness. I think that Jesus is saying that the nature of being born again, of being born from above, is to be constantly offered the chance to make amends, to live our lives in ways that are helpful for others. That level of grace that we are all offered, it's hard sometimes for us to truly get it, to understand that God's grace is indeed sufficient for us. But it's clearly part of what Jesus is teaching us here. Then there's that part about Jesus comparing himself to the serpent on the pole. Remember that that's what Moses used to cure the Israelites from snake bites as they wandered the desert waiting for God to show them the promised land. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, without me, you are snake bit. You don't have a prayer. But remember, too, that it was good King Hezekiah who eventually had Moses' snake pole destroyed because the people were worshiping it instead of the God who gave the people safety in the desert. Of course, Jesus' body would have to be destroyed too, a terrible death on the cross that we will remember next month during Good Friday. But today, Nicodemus is the seeker, and that's the one that we seek this morning. I think Nicodemus is given a bad rap sometimes. He comes to Jesus at night. Why? Is he trying to hide his seeker status from his fellow Pharisee colleagues? Rabbis taught then that the Torah is best studied at night, when it's quiet, when there's no distractions. I like to think that Nicodemus was in the middle of his studies and he decided to just pop over to see Jesus after the crowds had subsided, and he knew that he would have Jesus' attention. Methodist pastor Patricia Ferris says that Jesus received Nicodemus as a pilgrim, a sincere religious seeker. Immediately, Jesus senses that this learned Pharisee, this member of the religious establishment, Judge Nicodemus, His Honor Nicodemus, is responding to something that he's heard in Jesus' ministry, his teaching. Jesus takes Nicodemus seriously, even as Jesus pushes Nick far beyond his comfort zone. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found in my own life that when I get pushed past my comfort zone, I become vulnerable, but I'm also becoming ready for change. I think Nicodemus is in that place in today's story. Later on in John's Gospel, he'll join with Joseph of Arimathea, rubbing Jesus' dead body with balm. His encounter with Jesus, confusing as it is today, for him at least, had a lasting effect on him. One of my favorite writers and pastors, Barbara Brown Taylor, says that when what Nicodemus really wants out of this encounter is for Jesus, who we know as the great teacher, to say something that will just take away Nicodemus' doubts. But Jesus doesn't cooperate. Instead, he says, "Believe in me." That was Jesus daring Nicodemus. "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked Jesus. To Taylor, asking that question makes Nick the patron saint for those of us who get stuck at the foot of the mountain. We look up and we don't have the faintest idea how to climb it. Here's how, Jesus says, "Watch me. Now put your hand here. Now bring up your foot. Don't think about it too hard. Just do as I do. Believe in me. And I'll tell you what, when we get to the top, we'll have a cup of tea together." Now, we're not asked to climb the mountain alone. We're promised a gift of companionship after the long, hard climb. Have you ever heard about this town in Kansas called Nicodemus? After the Civil War, former slaves left the South and they started up this community in the northern part of the state. This town might have been named after our Nicodemus, or maybe after an African prince who had been taken into slavery. I like to think it's named after our guy, but it's not for certain. Either way, though, it's a nice name. Today, the town is a National Historic Landmark. After the Civil War, former slaves settled in Nicodemus because they were seeking a new life, a new start. They wanted to be born again because what they had experienced up until then was brutal. It was inhumane. God loved the world so much that Jesus came to be with human beings even for just a few years. To me, Jesus' mission was to preach God's saving grace to anyone who has faith in Jesus. Throughout the gospel, Jesus teaches anyone who will listen that salvation is available to everyone. It doesn't matter their race or their station in life, their gender. Even people we don't necessarily think are deserving of God's grace are deserving. I'll bet that's a message that resonated with former slaves, and it resonates with us today, because some of us are slaves to sin, slaves to worrying about what people will think about us, slaves to the time clock or whatever else that keeps us from focusing on building God's kingdom. God's call to us is simple, but it's also hard. Stripped of everything else, it's just belief. Belief that we were created and called to be children of God. Belief that a group of dedicated people working together, even the people of St. Andrew Presbyterian Church, can bring about change. Belief that among God's promises, especially when things seem hopeless for us, is the promise of God's presence through the Holy Spirit, which blows where it will and serves as a go-between for us and for God. Alone as we might feel sometimes, we are never alone. When we seek Jesus during the darkest nights of our lives, much in the same way that Nicodemus did, we learn that transformation is possible and that help is always available. That is our good news for today, as it was for Nick at night when he made his nighttime pilgrimage that changed his life. Amen.